You know, we used to do the show with no moment of silence beforehand.
Yeah, I know. And then Skype.
So, like, what has changed?
Skype started doing this background hiss crap.
That would be the sound of Jay's motorcycle.
Can you hear my train?
Sometimes.
Listen.
The night train?
Now it's not going to go. But the train was just doing its thing.
Wait, no, that's...
Anyway.
I'm like, I do hear the train. I'm like, no, that's my train.
That's a fast train.
Yeah, it's going all the way from Ohio to Massachusetts.
Wait. There's more than one train?
What?
Nonsense. Lots of trains, Alan.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more than one train just going by my house, because there's a northbound track and there's a southbound track.
Speaking of trains.
Yeah.
There's... You have a legislator in Ohio.
Uh-huh. Great a sigh.
Who I think has a brilliant idea.
Oh, okay. On the train. Oh, I'm like, please let this be the segue that I think it's a segue when it comes to trains.
It's well, it's sort of train related, you know.
It's absolutely train related.
So apparently, and I'm not an EMT, and you know, I don't really hang around in that world, but apparently there are the drug overdose equivalent of repeat offenders. Mm-hmm. So this Ohio city council member in some city has decided that he thinks that we ought to like have like a three strikes and you die policy.
For repeat
OD calls. So basically what they do is have like an OD database.
Oh my God.
If you call for an OD more than three times, they go, yeah, we're not coming.
No.
Wow.
It's so Darwin-y.
Well, and his point is because it's insanely expensive. These people to a person don't have money or don't have money for anything but drugs.
Right.
They're certainly not going to pay their medical bills. And, you know, he's talking about they're spending millions of dollars on these people and it just keeps getting, you know, they just keep doing it over and over and over again. And the sad thing is it's almost, you know, they've gotten so good at reviving people in an OD that mm-hmm. they're not dying off enough.
Well, I mean, you can use Narcan. I mean, Narcan is pretty much like a 100% like right. effective is essentially all it does is it just it's a oh God, now I'm going to get the medical term wrong. But essentially it outcompetes opiates
right.
at the binding receptors in the brain.
It jumpstarts your heart.
No, it doesn't. It does have a stimulant in it, which does jumpstart your heart. And that helps like get rid of the lag time.
Right.
But essentially what it does is it dives in and knocks all the opiates off of your opioid receptors in your brain
right.
and essentially just set it loose free in your blood with nothing on there.
Like and essentially, usually junkies will get so pissed off that you ruin their high.
Right.
Because literally
they're usually angry about it.
You will go from as fucked up as you want to be to like sober in like half a second.
Yeah. They're usually pretty mad about it.
Yeah, but you know, but that's the problem is they're not dying anymore.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you can, you know, if you have somebody that gives a shit enough about you to call the 911 when you OD and they get out there in time, you're pretty much not going to die. Which is a problem, and it means these people are just doing it over and over and over again.
Listen to what you just said.
What?
I actually just and by the way, I just saw in Boston there is a billboard that literally says, like, is advising people who might know junkies to go out and get them and go and get a prescription for Narcan and just keep it with you. Like, I don't know what the legality is for it or all that. I mean, it's going to be fairly non-controlled because there's really no
issue. They're letting librarians have it.
Yeah. And so essentially you could just go and talk to a doctor and say, yeah, no, my, you know, my friend's a heroin addict. I'm a heroin addict. What, you know, whatever you want to say, can I get a prescription for Narcan? And you just buy a thing for Narcan and you just keep it in your pocket. And when someone goes a bit too far, you dose them up and boom, they're back.
You know, to be even better than that, a hammer. I'm just saying.
So I've just been scrolling through Tam's blog because I wanted to pull up this post. Is Tam pointed out that now this was over a week ago, that Ohio crossed 10,000 overdoses. And oh my God, like for the Gun Blog Variety Cast, I was doing a thing on gun death and other stuff. And yeah, I did a quick drug overdoses, and oh my God, the number is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Like way more than traffic accidents, way more than gunshot wounds, way more than suicide, just out of this world. And stated that Ohio a week ago. So, I mean, we're not even halfway through the year yet. And Ohio, one state, not a huge state, has 10,000 overdoses. And
during the year,
this year,
I see. I'm actually surprised knowing what I do about Ohio. I'm actually surprised the number is so low.
Yeah.
Are we talking about overdose deaths?
I was just going to ask that.
Or overdoses?
No, overdose deaths.
Okay.
So that's actually Tango uniform. Okay.
So you can assume the number of overdoses is much
at least a zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then she's talking about the fact that, first I'm talking about all the whole, how that compares to like gun deaths, which is just, I mean, just not even a drop in the bucket. And I mean, we 30,000 gun deaths, 17,000 of them were suicides in the whole goddamn country. And, but she says, let's see, at this point, I'm half tempted to suggest that we take all the money we spend on the war on some drugs and use it to buy narcotics, pile the dope in every intersection in America and declare a 1-week business holiday and let America get all its fatal overdoses out of its system all at once.
Hmm.
And that was actually to quote my father, who does not listen to the podcast, but he would be very happy to hear this statement, was when heroin first started coming back. This is in it was big in like the 70s and 80s, and then it kind of disappeared for a little while. And then it started coming back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And I remember watching the news with my father, and they were talking about the heroin problem. And actually a student of his had actually overdosed. I think it was a former student. I don't think he was still in the school, but had recently showed up dead. And I said, "Oh, what do you think about this heroin problem?" My dad said, "Heroin's a self-correcting problem."
Mm-hmm. True. True. Mike has always said that his idea for heroin and you know, hard drugs like that is create like a system where you're kind of housing, sorry, losing my voice, housing all the drug addicts and giving them all the drugs they want. And then have field trips of school children. And like, it's like the junkie zoo. Like they get to look at the junkies and say, okay, this is what your life would be like if you were a junkie.
Like they used to do at Bedlam. Where people, they'd have tours through the insane asylum and people could look at the crazy people.
Right.
Only with the junkies, you can throw rocks at them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, I don't know.
I mean, maybe small rocks. And if you're a repeat offender, the rock keeps getting bigger.
I mean, there's certainly something to be said about letting the people who overdose. Because, I mean, there would be some. But I really don't think if we suddenly had like Weird Beard's libertarian drug paradise, which is just the, if you want to do it, it's legal. Go right ahead. Just, you know, so long as you are of the age of majority and can and have been deemed by the country to be able to, like, you know, make reasonable choices about your body, congratulations. If you can get a tattoo, you can stick a needle in your arm. And just let people go at it. And I think there would be an increase in the number of people doing doing hard drugs. I don't think it'd be very much. I don't think it'd be very much.
Well, the people that'll do it are already doing it.
Exactly. That's the big thing. Is it's one of those, like, the people that, you know, it's not like, I mean, obviously we don't have this many overdose deaths because heroin's hard to find. Super duper easy to find. And so therefore, you know, and the only people that aren't finding it, the people aren't looking for it. I couldn't get heroin. I mean, if you gave me $10,000 for, you know, for like 1 ounce of heroin, okay, for $10,000, I'll scare up an ounce of heroin for you. I'll figure something out. I know a few people who might know a few people who might know a few people. You know, it's not going to be a fun night. I'm going to bust my ass for that $10,000, but it's not going to be as much as I bust my ass for $10,000 right now. But I could get some heroin, but it would be a project.
So would it be Wonder Woman or Lady Thor?
What?
Heroin.
Oh, stop.
Dad joke. Horrible. I'm not drinking because of the drinking game. I'm drinking because I literally need something for that.
That was awful, Jay. Yeah,
I need medicine.
Thank you.
That was awful.
That permanently damaged me.
I think I got PTSD from that one.
That's right.
Has anyone besides Ellen and I seen the movie?
Not Wonder yet. Woman?
Wonder Woman.
I haven't seen it.
Trainspotting?
Jay, did you take your daughter to see it?
No, I did not.
You need
What's
to.
What's wrong with you?
Because we're gonna buy it anyway, so we'll just watch it at home.
Okay.
It's the dangers of having a large screen TV and a surround sound. It's like, yeah, we'll watch it here.
Yeah, why go to the theater?
Popcorn's a lot cheaper here.
It was pretty good in the theater, though.
What's that? Yeah, it was borderline.
Yeah, but the popcorn's not as good as in the theater as it is in my house, and also at my house, it's $5 for a month's supply, not $5 for one small bag.
Also, it's a really long movie, so at some point you're gonna have to pause that sucker and go to the bathroom.
Right.
Oh, that's the best part of watching movies at home.
No.
The best part is it starts precisely when I'm ready.
Yeah. And you don't have to watch previews and
me rushing and maybe missing the first bit of it, or me getting there in time and sitting in a seat next to someone who smells like a sewer, you know, for 15 minutes while I wait for previews, which I love previews, but hey, guess what? I watch movie previews while I'm watching YouTube videos on the exact same gigantic screen. But also the thing that really pisses me off about movie theaters right now is when they show fucking TV commercials.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck? I am now going to watch on a gigantic screen, a grainy, because it's literally meant for television sets, a grainy commercial for Sprite. Fuck you.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yeah, I have.
No?
It's usually in the pre... preview time.
They show... First they show whatever the hell they put on the screen while everyone files into the theater. Then the lights go down low, and then you'll get to see commercials for M&Ms and
Coca-Cola Sprite and, or whatever. Yeah.
Disney cruises, any sort of bullshit that you see on it's exact same shit that you see on TV. It's not like, ooh, this is like a super duper like high end. This is like a Super Bowl commercial because they actually made it specifically for the movie theaters. Nope. The movie theaters, I don't know how they made arrangements, but yeah, the movie theaters are getting money for putting this TV commercial on, and it's grainy. And it looks like shit and it sounds like shit. And it's the same fucking shit you see when you're watching your soap operas, watching your stories.
Yeah. Don't see that either.
Yep. And then you get your previews.
You know what my favorite part of watching a movie at home is, though? The popcorn comes with bourbon.
Mm. Ah, yes.
Yes, or a beer.
And you can watch it in your underwear.
Or heroin.
Or heroin.
You can actually blast a little H and watch Trainspotting.
You can have some heroin when you watch your heroin.
Right.
That's been a really great movie, and I think it's funny because the social justice warriors are all like, oh, you're only going to go, you're only seeing that because she's half naked or whatever, and
she is.
Well, scantily clad, she's not covered. She's not wearing a burqa. I don't think that's it. I think it's just a good movie. And I don't think anybody that goes to see it cares other than the fact that it is Wonder Woman. It's a good movie. Unlike, some of the other crap that's been out there.
Everybody knows I'm a huge Wonder Woman fan from birth practically. But I've seen a lot of superhero movies that have come out lately, and they're all really CGI driven with no story. Like, it's like the story is just kind of like frosting on a CGI cake. Like, there's no substance there. It's just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't care about the people. It's just eye candy, CGI stuff. But the Wonder Woman movie really, it had a good story up until the end. I'll say it again. Like, my review was, it was 7/8 of the movie was great. And then the ending was kind of like this weird disjointed CGI thing that I didn't think was necessary. And it was a good story. And I think that might be part of why it was, it's been so popular. Because it's a story people want to watch. And the acting was good. And the characters are good. And you kind of cared about what was happening. And it wasn't just like, ooh, look at this battle. Ooh, look at that battle. Look at the CGI. Look at this explosion. And, that gets boring.
All I got to say is, as much as they talked about it when it was actually in the theaters,
mm-hmm.
It did not take very long afterwards, even though there's like 15 sequels being worked on, like evidently simultaneously right now.
Yeah.
Nobody is fucking talking about Avatar. Nobody is talking about that movie. Cause guess what? It was a piece of shit and it got old. And guess what? I bet if I popped it in, and no, if you come over to my house with a copy of Avatar, I'm clearing leather.
Is Avatar that blue person movie?
Yes, that is the giant Smurf furry porn.
Still not seen that movie.
I've never seen it either.
Good move for both of you guys. Like
I just
said,
thought it was kind of hippy dippy.
Like I said, I will shoot somebody for brandishing a copy of Avatar. And there's not a court. There's not a court in the country that will convict me. I shot them, and you'll notice, Judge, that I shot them through the DVD of Avatar. I destroyed the DVD and happened to punch a hole through their aorta, and that was not good for them. But
oh, maybe somebody will do that for a YouTube video.
I was just
yeah. What a weird week.
Well, what happened with YouTube?
Somebody tried to film a YouTube video that was these. You know how these people try to be like YouTube stars.
Yeah.
So this guy hands his girlfriend
that YouTube money that evidently doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. This guy hands his girlfriend a Desert Eagle 50 and says, here, shoot, I'm going to hold this book in front of me and you shoot the book and the bullet will get trapped in the book.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't.
It didn't.
Something tells me he didn't try that beforehand.
Well, she claims they tried it beforehand and it worked, but
This is kind of like there's that scene from Lethal Weapon 3, the best of the Lethal Weapons, because it was the one that had the Brady campaign wrote the screenplay for. Fucking hilarious. But Riggs has the cop killer bullets, which is the whole, you know, MacGuffin of that film, and takes a police bulletproof vest and hangs it up on a target hanger at the shooting range and runs it down the range, and then puts like two holes through both sides of the plate on it. And it's one of those like, yeah, because guess what? If you just hang a bulletproof vest from a hanger and shoot it, a bullet's going to go right through it, because it actually all it does is it just keeps the bullet from punching a hole in your body. Your body stops the bullet. The vest doesn't have enough mass to stop the bullet. At least that's my understanding of it. So it could be that they had it like set up against something hard and that was what stopped the bullet.
Or they didn't actually have the Kevlar in it.
Or it was a different book. I mean, who knows what these idiots were doing? I mean, anybody that's going to stand there with, you know, not even a trick gun, you know, like, I mean, it's a very old stage trick, right? You shoot me with this gun, you know, and, you know, it's an old magic trick, and you know, there's not actually a bullet in the gun, but in this case, there actually was one in it. And it was, you know, an incredibly powerful round with a lot of energy behind it. I mean, they weren't using like, you know, 38 special or 9mm. They were,
I wouldn't even do it with that.
I wouldn't either, but that's,
it wouldn't be as stupid, but again, you've got to add up of the, all right, what, like,
yeah,
going back to the old show, those of you that have been listening to us for that long, we'll know what I'm talking about but we talked about the Mr. Hands video.
Oh yes.
And Mr. Hands was a, an aerospace engineer for Boeing, living up in the Seattle area. And he happened to enjoy having sexual congresses with a horse. And one night the horse went a little too far and perforated his colon, and he was concerned that it would come out on how he got his colon perforated. So he wanted to see if he could tough it out and not go to the emergency room. And he ended up passing away for it. And which leads me all from this down to this disgusting road is there was a video servicing, allegedly not of the night that he died, but of him and the horse that was out there. And I gotta say, when you watch it, the horse is doing just fine, but he doesn't look like he's having a whole lot of fun. And when you realize that one of these events ended up killing him, you got to wonder, is it worth it?
No.
I mean, it's when you got someone that's like a lifelong skier and they love skiing and it's their favorite thing on earth, or Jay loves his motorcycles. I'm knocking on wood for you, Jay. I'm not trying to jinx you, but you know, if Jay ends up punching his clock on a motorcycle, you go, you know what? Jay really did like motorcycles. You know, it sucks that that had to happen, but hey, guess what? He did really like motorcycles.
Getting raped to death by a horse, on the other hand.
Yeah. Or I'm thinking about, like, you know, maybe Sonny Bono really loved skiing. You know, John Denver really liked flying airplanes. If I died, if I go off a trail and crash into a tree on a ski slope, guess what? I hate skiing. Skiing is so boring. I skied for about 4 years and I've never been happier when I sold my skis. Like, it just was an extremely expensive, extremely boring habit. And, but yet it's something that can get you killed. And hey, guess what? That's not... You know, that's, you know, if you're going to die doing something you like, die doing something good.
Die doing horses.
Getting done by horses.
Apparently he liked horses.
Didn't seem like it.
He was a reverse equestrian.
I don't know. I mean, he obviously wasn't there for the hunting, but
anyway,
but yeah.
Where were so we die going doing with heroin. This?
What? Yes. What would you like to die doing, though? Like, what do you like so much that you wouldn't mind dying doing?
Laying
it?
In bed.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. That's a good one.
I mean, that's the bottom line, is let's just face it. Like
that's like the old joke about you want to die like your grandpa did in his sleep, not screaming and crying like the passengers he was driving in the bus.
The passengers in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, be like someone like my grandmother, who's just fucking sick of this shit. She's done. She's ready. She's just like, all right, cool, whatever. All these years of smoking and drinking, and here I am in my 90s, sick of this shit.
Didn't expect to live that long, huh?
Yeah. Evidently not.
Whoops.
I mean, she buried her husband like over 30 years ago. But yeah, no. But I mean, yeah, overall I don't want to go, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those like, oh, if it was one of those like, oh, freak accident at the shooting range, around, you know, bounced off a steel plate and, you know, caught me in the eye. Oh, well, I mean, I was at the range.
For me, it would have to be like, oh, she had a massive heart attack after eating something so rich that, the
96 ounce beef.
Yeah, her heart stopped or something.
17 pounds of brisket later.
By the way, to actually tie it in, like, if it needs be, like, the big one going through, since I lost an aunt and I'm actually losing another relative right now, God, to ALS. That shit ever happens to me, it's not going to be ALS that punches my ticket. It is going to be heroin. I am going to find some heroin. And I'll be like, you know what? I definitely want to give this a try. And then after I try it a couple of times, I'm going to try too much.
Well, I've always said that if I ever get a terminal disease, everyone else should worry.
That's right. Yeah.
Just saying. I have a list.
I'm surprised more people don't do that.
I really am.
I think it's a testament. I think it's a testament to the innate goodness of human beings that more people don't do that.
I've heard a few people say that they have a list. I don't have a list. Wow. Now here's the big question, Jay. Do you have a list?
A list of?
If you had a terminal illness, the people that should really like.
People that should be afraid? No. No, I don't.
Someone that should go on one of those transatlantic crossing cruises and
no,
and then hopes the boat has engine trouble in the Sargasso Sea, because that's the one place where Jay can't get you.
No, I would buy like a pallet of cigarettes though. I'd be damn sure it'd be Camel non-filters. I'd be like, fuck it, I'm gonna die anyway. That's might as well smoke out.
But it's heroin and unfiltered cigarettes. Oh,
and raw milk, damn it, because you gotta live.
Is Britta? You've been to Ireland, so they have raw milk there.
Okay,
is that good?
It tastes like milk, but
with more bugs in it.
But it has like a little. It's a little funkier. How do I? I don't know how to put it.
Funkier. Actually, that's a good word. It's funky.
Actually, my family on my mom's side owns a dairy farm in Ireland, and so yeah, we are the dairy people. No, the milk just tastes. It's
funky.
It tastes like milk. Like, it tastes like real milk. It doesn't. I don't know how to describe it.
Have you? So let's put it this way. I've had the shelf stable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For a number of years, my wife and I drank so few milk that like we'd buy like a quart of milk and it would just go bad before.
Yeah, we don't drink like, milk at all.
I was like, we really don't use this all that much. And then I discovered the juice boxes of milk in the baking aisle, and went, ooh, I can get this. So if I want to make like a meatloaf or something like that that needs milk. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, make some gravy or all that, or someone really feels like eating a bowl of cereal, like you can do this. And that was my wife switched over to almond milk for her cereal in the morning.
Okay.
And And so my wife switched over to almond milk, and I kept the and almond milk and cereal is just fine. And I bought like, I would buy like a 6-pack of little 8-ounce juice boxes filled with shelf stable milk that were good for like a year. And that was perfectly good for all like the baking needs that required milk. But there was at one point where I was one of those like, oh, I felt like having cereal, and, or I can't remember what I was doing, but I decided to drink one of them. And let me tell you, that was nasty. Like, it tastes perfectly fine if you're cooking it into something. Like, you'll never tell the difference.
Sure.
But and pouring it over cereal, probably you might if you really were paying close attention, you'd probably figure it out. But if you were just eating your cereal and listening, you know, watching the morning news, never know. But pour it into a drinking glass, even pour it with a drinking glass, put a little Hershey's chocolate syrup in it. No, thank you. Really gross.
I have never tried that. But
okay.
I wanted to know if saying, I feel bad saying the milk in Ireland is funky, because it's not like funky, like bad funky, but it has like a flavor. I can't describe it. It's like eating Parmesan versus mozzarella. Does that make sense? Like, it's like a stronger milky flavor.
Is it funky like George Clinton funky? That's what I want to know.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why everybody's so crazy about Kerrygold butter, right? Because it's like more.
Do they make Bluebell ice cream with real milk?
Yes.
I had to throw that out so Alan would salivate.
Yes, they do.
Oh, yeah. So, but yeah, but I just wanted to know, is the raw milk. I mean, I'm not that big of a milk drinker, so.
I don't drink milk at all. I have half and half for my coffee in the morning, and that's it.
I don't even do that. Like, I mean, obviously I don't drink that much coffee, but, you know, I drink my tea black with no sugar. With coffee, I just put a little bit of sugar in it. But like, putting milk in coffee and tea is just like, is the weirdest thing to me. Like, I just don't get it. Like, milk or cream or all that just kind of makes it milky.
Just like, yes.
If I wanted a glass of milk, I'd drink a fucking glass of milk.
Speaking of milky.
Where are we going?
Let's talk about John McEnroe.
How does that?
Worst segue ever.
Because he's a white guy.
Jesus Christ, Alan, you are Mr. Smooth.
I'm trying to put it together in my head.
There is
ladies everywhere. This man is single.
There is no. It was an intentional misfire.
Yeah, I wanted. I really wanted to talk about this one.
Well, okay. So it started off with McEnroe being interviewed on some sports thing.
NPR, actually.
Was it NPR? But it was about, wasn't it like it was some sports guy thing, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway.
You're asking the wrong crowd, really.
So, there you go.
Don't give a shit.
So the guy asked McEnroe what he thought about Serena Williams.
Yep.
Who is apparently a famous tennis star.
Good tennis star.
I have no idea. And he said something about that she was really good and
she's the top female tennis player in the world.
Someone asked, and John McEnroe stated that she is the best woman tennis player ever.
Right,
like history of the game. And yes. And I must say, I don't follow tennis that closely. But close enough that I do know who the Williams sisters are and do know who Serena is and do know that Serena is way better than her older sister, Venus, who I thought for sure was a ridiculously good player. And Venus is the tall, lankier one, which she looks more like a traditional tennis player. Serena's a little bit shorter and much more muscular. And I'm impressed at how good she is, but she is incredibly good. And he said, and the guy said, why would you say best female player? And he said, because if she was playing against the men, she'd be like 700th in the world.
Right.
And the whole internet lost its collective shit over this statement. And the big thing about it is that it's a true statement.
Yeah.
700 I have seen a couple of people being, and McEnroe again was speaking right off the cuff. This was not like, this was just a, this was literally just a, you know, color commentary little thing thrown in there. This was not something he was prepared for. 700th maybe isn't true,
but
it would definitely be, it would definitely be triple digits.
But the interesting thing is that, that, you know, cause I watched the video of, you know, and he's, it was actually, you know, when the guy asked him, you know, so what, you know, what do you think about Serena? And, you know, oh yeah, she's, you know, she's great and best female ever. And then, you know, the interviewer asked him about, you know, her playing against men. And he's like, it's like for a second, he's like, what the fuck are you asking? You know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like it was a complete non sequitur. It's like saying, you know, oh, how about this? What do you think about these, you know, the women's basketball team going up against Michael Jordan or something? I mean, you know, that kind of a thing. It'd be yeah. like, what? No. And I think that's where McEnroe was coming from with the 700. He was just like, well, that's just complete lunacy. She can't compete with the men. Which
I don't know of any female tennis players that have tried to compete in the men's circuit. The only time I've heard about that is, and I'm not a golf fan at all, so here's where I drift off the radar, but there is a female golfer that consistently tries to enter into the male the male circuit. I don't even know what the hell it's called, but the and she's very, very highly ranked in the world, female golfer, and when she plays against the men, she gets the ever loving shit kicked out of her. Like, I remember she was in a pro-am tournament that she entered into, and in the pro-am, she was getting beat by amateurs. She was getting beat by, you know, highly ranked amateur invitationals.
There was a story not all that long ago about an Olympic level women's soccer team that got beaten by a middle school team.
What?
A male middle school team. I mean, these are like world champion soccer. It's you can't. You can't ignore biology.
Yeah, look at any marathon. And they always, I mean, the women always start separate. And guess what? There's, yes, the, you know, your mailman who's running in the marathon, he might get beat by some professional level woman.
Right.
You know, yes. Yeah, the guy in the Jackass movie, they were in Thailand and they decided to go up against, you know, a Muay Thai, you know, female champion, and she kicked the ever loving shit out of him. I also don't think they were probably fighting back all that hard, but yes, when you're dealing with a bunch of skater punks who are, you know, who are experts in getting hit in the balls, and they go up against the Muay Thai champion, male or female, they're going to get their asses kicked.
I looked it up there. That actually happened. The women's,
thank you for fact checking me.
US women's national soccer team, in preparation for taking on Russia, played scrimmages against FC Dallas under 15 boys academy team
and under lost 15.
And lost 5-2.
Holy shit. Those guys' balls haven't even dropped yet.
Yeah. It's the under 15 team and they lost. So
I got my driver's license when I was 17 years old and I lied about my weight on my driver's license. And I lied about my weight up.
Cause you were scrawny.
I was like 140 pounds and I rounded it up to 150.
I don't think I was 140 pounds when I was born.
No, you weren't, Jay.
See? Yeah, somebody catch that.
Oh, but But anyway, this apparently Billie Jean King weighed in on it and said that, you know.
You know the story with Billie Jean King, right? Where there she had this famous match up against a man.
Yes.
Back in the 70s?
Yes, the 60s, Bobby yeah. Riggs.
Bobby 73. Riggs, yeah. 73. Yeah. And it was, you know, because of women's lib and, you know, Billie Jean King was a great player and, you know, so they decided to have a match between her and Bobby Riggs.
Actually, I don't even know who Bobby Riggs was. I mean,
well, he's, you know, tennis
obviously
player.
she wasn't going up against McEnroe or Connors. Which back in that time,
right.
Just, Chuck Connors, he'd kill her.
For our younger
listeners, Chuck Connors played the Rifleman.
Yes, he did.
And also, Bobby Riggs was 55 at the time. No offense, Alan. And
it's not really a.
Billie Jean King was 29.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And also, according to this CBS Sports page about the thing, there are rumors that Riggs threw the matches to settle gambling debts to the mob.
Oh,
so
alrighty then.
Apparently, in 1992, they also had one between Jimmy Connors and Martina Navratilova. Yeah. So I don't know.
Navratilova.
What year was that?
Navratilova. 92. Blah blah.
So Jimmy Connors was over the hill, and Navratilova was in her prime.
Right. And she lost.
It's Navratilova.
I remember. I was alive and paying attention when this happened, when she was a big deal. So
Connors won.
Was she the one that married Agassi?
No.
Who's Andre Agassi married to?
The German Steffi Graf.
Martina Navratilova.
She is married to a woman.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's.
Oh yeah.
Connors won 7-5 to 6-2. So.
And Connors won. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't know the mob. Like,
he was
143 years old.
He was 15 years past his prime. I mean, it's one of those, like, I got thinking about this is if McEnroe went up against, Serena Williams, I think she's on maternity leave right now. She just had a baby. So she's not going to be lacing up her shoes right now. But once she gets back into the swing of things, if she wanted to hold a match against John McEnroe, who's what, in his 70s now, isn't he? Let's look it up.
Oh.
Like, that would be an interesting matchup. John McEnroe right now against he's only 58. He looks like he's in his 70s.
Yeah.
Too much sun.
I think he might have gotten a few bad ice cubes too. I think he may have been known to take a drink under extreme social pressure.
Or horse.
He's 58 now. So I gotta say, with John McEnroe, yeah, no, he's I think even at 58, I think he'd kick the ever loving shit out of Serena Williams.
Depends. How much money does he owe the mob?
That is true. I would not put it past John McEnroe to have some mob ties that were not the good kind.
You know, something like that would be an awesome way to make some scratch for your retirement. Bet against yourself and then, you know, have a, you know, take a dive.
I don't think McEnroe's got to worry about it.
You never know.
Well, I don't know. He's making a lot. I guess it depends on how good his spending habits were, because
he wrote a book, which is why he was, you know, on NPR. So, you know, maybe he's hurting for money. I wrote a book.
Oh my God. We're talking about sports.
No, we're talking about books, Brita.
And
librarian.
And we're talking about the ridiculousness of trying to claim that men and women are the same.
No. Yeah, no, they're not. Like, I mean, even like that was one of those things that I always would say, like when I first started getting into the gun rights thing, is the, oh yeah, well, you know what? With a gun, in Guns, it's the great equalizer. It's all the same. And it is true. I mean, when it comes to the average Joe and, you know, on the street. Yeah, no, the gun evens everybody out.
Sure.
But when it comes to like not the street, when it comes to, hey, let's really wring this son of a bitch out and have competition. I don't know about like stuff like I think long range rifle is probably still, you know, long range rifle, NRA high power. Those have got to be about the same. Like there can't be that much difference between men and women. I don't think anybody follows. Jay, do you follow
Not religiously. I mean, just knowing what I know about long range competition, it's not a physical. It's not a physical thing. It's really boils down to how well you can control your
breathing. Fine motor control, right?
Right, right. Which really, there's not a lot of difference between the genders in that regard.
Yeah,
you might see like three gun. There's some movement, but it's not a huge component.
By the way, is that your train, Brita?
That's my train.
It's hey. Not my train.
Willoughby.
Is that the H train, Brita?
No, it's the Willoughby train.
The W train.
It even sounds
cute. W train's worse than train. The H train.
You know, it's the Twilight Zone, the last stop Willoughby. That's yep. the train.
Is Willoughby the last stop?
It was for that guy.
Are you the end of the line?
I don't think we are, no.
Are you the last train to Clarksville?
No. Where's Clarksville?
Oh, Brita.
What?
You're too young to remember the monkeys, so.
Oh. I remember the monkeys, but I try to block most of them out.
I'm with Brita on that one. I'm the exact same. But yeah, what was I just saying? It was just Brita's train distracted me. Oh yeah, but no, yeah, with three gun and stuff like that, yeah, there's running. There's right. running and really any of the practical shooting, because let's face it, like I remember going out shooting with a friend of mine who is a 300-plus-pound professional massage therapist. So
male or female? Oh,
male.
Okay.
Male.
All right.
Yeah. And he's just a big dude and just not a bodybuilder, but very well muscled. And for those who go to massage therapists, there's people that always say like, I'd like a male massage therapist because I want someone to beat the fuck out of my muscles. And that is what he does, is beat the fuck out of muscles. And took him out shooting and like was literally like having to teach him like, this is a sight picture. This is how you do a trigger press, like basic shit. And then the dude just shot the fucking doors off the target, because guess what, he's gigantic and he's really fucking strong.
He is his own ransom rest.
So when he grips it 20% harder, it crushes the grip.
yes the crush grip induces malfunctions. but being bigger and stronger. And I found the same thing when I started lifting weights. Putting on upper body strength made my group smaller. It's just that. And so the more upper body strength you can put on, and there's like an MMA guy who's like a big shooter. I haven't seen one of his videos in a while, but he's this like just gigantic dude. And he's a really good shooter, because guess what? Yeah, he's a ransom rest. He's really, really stable. And so, yeah, when you've got like any sort of like you're your own stabilizer, yeah, you're going to be. A man is going to be a better shot than a woman just because of that nature, as he can put on more upper body strength. You know, no, not like any old schlub. You know, grab somebody at a tech support and, you know, hand him a Desert Eagle and say, here, go shoot at this target. And then somebody else who actually owns that Desert Eagle and shoots it every weekend, who's a woman. Yeah. She's going to fucking clean his clock. But when you're dealing with like two people on equal playing field where both of them are serious about it, the man's going to do a whole lot better. Just because of just the physical nature of it. Sorry. Nature's a bitch. Men get stronger, women get prettier.
That's true. Mostly.
Unless it's liberal men, in which case they get prettier because they all start looking like old lesbians.
And the women, the liberal women get uglier.
They sure do. Especially that college professor who is calling for more muscle to beat up the guy who is videotaping. Like, talk about stereotypical liberal.
Yeah.
They just need to start putting her face there with her eyes pressed up against the lenses of her glasses for just on t-shirts. It says vote Republican. Republican Party. It's not that great, but it's better than this.
Have you paid any attention to this, the amygdala thing?
My wife doesn't have one.
Really?
One of them. Yeah.
You knew this.
I didn't know it was the amygdala.
Oh.
I'm sure she is missing her right her frontal right temporal lobe, her right hippocampus, and her right amygdala.
Huh.
Wait, I actually can't remember. I'll have to actually ask. I can't remember if they kept the amygdala or not. They got real close to it.
They're talking about Democrats having more enlarged amygdalas than Republicans.
Well, that would make then she doesn't have an amygdala. I've always made the joke about the fact that, like, okay, look, you started out as much more of a liberal, and as we've gotten older, I've gotten much more libertarian. Like, I was early in life, I definitely identified Democrat. My views in life were definitely Democrat, socialist, progressive Democrat. And then after 9/11, I kind of went, that's not the best idea. And I switched over to fairly hardcore Republican. Not super hardcore, because again, I started off as a Democrat. So there's only so far that pendulum can swing. And then I've just gotten more and more libertarian. And like, I'm amazed still, like, to this day, like, how much of a dove I've become on the, I will literally, like, start thinking to myself of the, should we have gotten into World War II, or should we just left that shit alone? And I really lean on the side of, we should have just left that shit
alone. That's because you're getting older.
I am getting older.
Well, that's what happens when you get older.
But the,
I have to disagree, because, you know, my shit ain't on the line. I'm like, oh, fuck it. Go fuck somebody up.
So I wasn't real sure what the amygdala did, and I'm looking at a website. It's called The Brain Made Simple, and it says, when you think of the amygdala, you should think of one word: fear. The amygdala is the reason we are afraid of things outside our control.
Really?
Yep.
Which is
conversation with my amygdala.
Super interesting.
Yes.
In relation to you know, this whole liberalism.
Yes.
Thing.
That explains a lot, because I've never really figured out a catchy way of saying it, but I've always referred to specifically progressivism, not even necessarily Democrats, but like, if you self-identify as a progressive, it does not matter if you've got like a gray ponytail sticking underneath your leather cowboy hat, you are an adult, you're a child. You are behaving not much different than like a kid in elementary school.
And that's what happens, because the people that have depression, or people that have PTSD, or people that have experienced trauma, have an enlarged amygdala. It actually changes the shape of your brain.
And my wife experienced trauma, but she's got a smaller amygdala.
And they actually did studies, and they found that Democrats tend to have enlarged amygdalas, and Republicans
just
tend not
generally
to.
Or does something cause it?
Well, that's the thing is well, it's stress, depression, PTSD, you know, like abuse and things like that can all cause an enlarged amygdala. You know, it's
neglect as well.
I don't think there's a, it's just strictly a correlation. I don't think it's you know, cause and effect or anything like that. As far as, you know, you're a Democrat and then you grow an amygdala, or I think it's just in general, you know, if you have an enlarged amygdala and you have a lot of fear about things outside your control, what does that sound like? You know, it sounds like a bunch of liberals that want the government to come in and fix everything.
Yeah. Right.
You want dear leader to come in and look after you. You want mommy and daddy to tuck you into bed at night.
Whereas if you're not suffering from that, you don't want that.
That is definitely one thing. And all of these people that have said this, it's always got me to scratch my head, because I'm one of these people that is one of those like it does not matter. Like, this year's kind of been a rough year for me, but you know what? It's still like one of the, you know, overall, it's definitely a better year than most, because guess what? You know, I'm progressing in life and things are going better for me. And definitely is one of those, like, I'll take my worst years as an adult over like, you know, any year as a child. But I've met people who are literally like, oh my God, like, oh, wouldn't it be great to be like 5 or 6 again?
I bet you if you looked at their amygdala, it's huge.
I bet it's the size of a regulation soccer ball. But yeah, I've just never got that. It's one of those, like, I remember like a roommate in college that I had was saying, oh, wouldn't it be great? Like, yeah, to be like 5 again.
No.
Like, no, yeah. No job, no schoolwork. You just play with your toys and, you know, hang out and mom and dad cook your food for you. And it's one of those like, no, man. Like, I cook my own fucking food.
Yeah.
Like, not only do I, you know, not only do I eat awesome food, but guess what? I made that awesome food. How fucking cool is that? And I made that awesome food and I bought that awesome food with my money that I made with my awesome job. And I did it in my house.
Supper time.
Eating time at the zoo.
There's this new thing called adult daycare.
What? Ooh. Is that for like the elderly?
Who no, it's not. It is not. There is adult daycare for the seniors, but there's this, and I saw somebody linked an article to it on Facebook. I saw there's this adult daycare, and it's like kid daycare only for adults. You go in and you color and you finger paint. And
there's a lot of adult coloring going on these days.
I like coloring.
Well, I like coloring too.
You know, I'm totally fine. My wife, I mean, she's such a workaholic that she gets like super into it. Like, she'll be like, she'll have like a time and she'll be like, sit down and start coloring in one of her, she's got like 5 or 6 adult coloring books.
But she doesn't go to an adult daycare center to do it, where they have somebody in charge that tells you, okay, now we're going to color. Now we're going to make
popsicles. She'd murder that motherfucker.
Yeah, me too. What?
That's the difference. You have people.
I hated school.
You have people that are like,
I don't want to go back.
They want to regress and, you know, have somebody tell them when it's time to take a nap or something. I don't know.
Oh, like, all right. I do love myself a good nap. Like, oh man, like, I am so upset that my time is pretty much over with the, okay, sweetie, time for you to go take a nap. And you know what? I feel a little bit sleepy myself. So you know what? One for the little girl and one for the doctor.
Nope.
Those days are fucking over. And boy, that is shameful. But I do love a good nap. Like, just go one of those, like, you know what? I'm going to go take, wake me up in 2 hours if I'm not downstairs again. I'm going to go upstairs and hop in bed and take a little shut eye. But oh my God, like, I remember at one point, like, I was sitting around the house and my parents were down and my mom looked at me and goes, you look tired. You know what? Why don't you go upstairs and take a nap? Fuck you. Not the boss of me. You're not my mom. You are my mom, but you're not running the show anymore.
That's because you don't have an enlarged.
I'm not taking a fucking nap.
You don't have an enlarged amygdala.
Evidently not. I don't know. I've never had an MRI. Unlike my wife, I do not have pictures of my brain. But my wife does not have an enlarged amygdala.
When they took her pieces of her brain out, did they let her keep them or did they like dispose of them?
No, I specifically asked
to keep them.
Of course he did.
You bet I fucking.
They don't even let you keep your like appendix anymore.
Did they let you keep it?
Or your tonsils? No.
Damn it.
It's like medical waste. They have to get rid of it, like in a.
That's a shame. You
know. Didn't even let me keep my vas deferens. Either one of them. Yep, those are two vas deferens I'll never have again.
Oh, man. Alan Sy, what do we drink for that?
Heroin.
Everybody, step aboard the H train.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah,
it goes to Willoughby.
That was so bad, everyone has to take a literal shot.
In the head with a 38 special. If you want, you can hold a book.
Oh.
But I'm hold bumped. The book over your heart and then put the gun to your temple.
And on that note.
Can we make fun of CNN real quick?
Yes, please. Let's make fun of CNN because oh my
hey, CNN,
god,
you they suck.
But President Mom Jeans, oh, his jeans game is strong.
I loved how they tried to like deflect, and they used Barack Obama's mom jeans. Really?
On the political.
Political. It's on the political column. Barack Obama's jeans.
Right.
Not lifestyles or, you know.
Well, you know, I don't know if our listeners even know what we're talking about, but CNN had to retract stories and a couple people got fired. And three people got fired. Trump Russia is not a thing. And then it comes out that Project Veritas, Google it if you're unsure, came out with videos. They did these like secret videos of CNN editors or producers or whatever saying basically like, oh yeah, the Trump Russia thing is basically bullshit that we do for ratings. Mm-hmm. And CNN loves Trump because their ratings have never been higher. They love it. So of course they're going to stir the pot and it really seems like they're hedging their bets. They're like, oh, let's make up all this shit about Trump and for the ratings. And then maybe it'll stick, but maybe we'll have to retract it. But we'll still have the ratings.
Yep.
Right. Nobody comes and takes your ratings away when you make up shit.
That's right. Right. Maybe they should.
Exactly. And you know, the guy, the first video that came out, I don't know the guy's name. It doesn't matter. But he was basically saying, oh, you know all those journalism ethics that they talk about in journalism school? That's so adorable. He's like, that's so cute. This is a business. So basically he's saying, we don't have any ethics. We have no journalistic ethics.
Of course not.
We're just saying whatever the fuck we want for ratings because it's a business, because we got to sell commercials, because that's how we make money. And that is the state of journalism in this country today. And if that does not make people turn off their fucking TVs and stop listening to this garbage that is, I don't know what will.
It's well, just, to be fair, there's a lot of people that are like me and like you, Brita, who actually can't turn on their TVs.
No. Yeah.
I mean, that number is very, very, very non-insignificant.
And I think they know that. And I think they are really trying their hardest to milk the last dregs out of television viewers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they are meeting a need. Is one of those, like, actually, Penn Jillette was making a joke about the fact that, like, you know, nowadays, like, the American person is, like, so divorced from the back in the days when you'd go and work in the factory that mm-hmm. now we have reality shows where we just watch other people work.
Right. This is true.
Is you actually need to, like, watch people, like, do shit that's actually hard.
Yeah, some of the most popular shows are those. What is it? The lobster,
dirty job,
the lobster guys in the Alaska,
ice road truckers.
Yeah, ice road truckers, and
yeah,
it's a good point.
But you know what? The flip side is, you know what? Some of the biggest YouTube channels are. There's 20 somethings
who
video themselves playing video games.
That is bizarre to me.
And their YouTube channels are huge, millions and millions of views, and they're raking in ad dollars.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I won't lie, for a little while, right after my daughter was born, when like I had like absolutely no time to play video games, I absolutely watched those YouTube videos on the, oh, there's a new video game coming out, and I will never, ever, ever have time to play it. And that is literally true, because now, like, I'm not really playing video games anymore. That may return someday, maybe not.
I want an original Nintendo, damn it.
What's that?
I want an original Nintendo.
Well, I've got.
So I can relive being 16 years old.
I've got a Wii.
Only I'll play it in my damn basement.
That's all I do on my Wii is play games that are 20 and 30 years old. I got Tower Toppler for Commodore 64 on that thing. Holy shit, that makes me happy.
Topic!
But what? Thank you, Alan. See, it works.
So you say that, but now I can't remember what the original topic was.
It was CNN.
Yeah. Oh. The YouTube channels, they're meeting a need. Like, I was one of those, like, I don't have time to invest in playing this video game. So guess what? I'll turn it on and watch this guy play and see if this video game's any good. See what I'm missing out on.
Well, people watch professional sports. It's the same damn thing.
Exact same thing. And that's exactly it, is these guys are professional video gamers. Hey, guess what? He's going to clear that level in like 15 minutes. That's like an hour and a half of my day to clear that level. And a lot of fucking swearing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, but then I don't get watching like football and crap on TV either. So,
and meanwhile, my daughter watches YouTube videos of grown ass women and grown ass men unwrapping and playing with children's toys.
Oh, that's like me. I watch makeup videos.
And
well, at least that's
and my daughter is such a stubborn creature that under no circumstance can I ever make any sound that I disapprove with her viewing, because
it's like me with the makeup videos.
If I say that that's absolute shit that you're watching, she's going to double down.
Shut up.
If I don't, there's a good chance that she'll get bored and switch over to a cooking video. She watches a lot of cooking videos too.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Maybe she and I should trade YouTube playlists.
You two could have some fun. You two could spend some time.
She could watch drag queens put on makeup, and I could watch toy videos.
Oh, are they mostly drag queens?
Well, yeah.
The drag queens have got to be the best of it, because
they are really good at makeup.
If you go to Hollywood, the best makeup artists are men.
And it's like your video game watching. It's like the drag queens are like putting on makeup that I will never be able to buy. Or I mean, I could afford it, but you know, who wants
you don't want to look like a drag queen.
Well, I don't want to look like a drag queen. Also, I don't want to spend $80 on a lip gloss, you know, but I want to see what it looks like. So it's like you with your video games.
Because let's face it.
It's like living vicariously.
Right? RuPaul in his natural male state is a pretty goddamn good looking dude.
Yes.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen him recently, but never mind. He's black. He could be 80 years old and he's still going to look like a 25 year old man. But he is absolutely the exception to the rule. Most drag queens are really dumpy looking dudes.
And that's the power of makeup.
And it's the power of makeup. They're putting that shit on with a roller.
This has been a very diverse show.
It has.
Coming for everybody.
We've been all over the place.
Sports and guns and makeup. And Jay talked about his motorcycle. And, you know.
Did that make the recording, though? I don't know. It did.
Well, it did.
Jay did
mind.
Talk about his motorcycle. Maybe you heard it. Maybe you didn't.
Stay tuned. It's one simple trick. No way.
If you don't, you know what? Send me an email at weirdbeard@gmail.com and I'll send you Jay's phone number and you can call me.
Jay, I'll talk to you about his motorcycle.
That's right. I'm not gonna be a dick and give it out over the air
we should do one of those what is it? The thing that all the artists do, like the Patreon thing where you have like a special
Oh, a special gift for the top donor.
Yeah, for the top donor. Top donor gets Jay's phone number. I can talk.
You can call Jay any hour, day and night, and talk to him about motorcycles. Or ask him about the sore on the end of your penis, whatever you got. tell him about how you were changing the light bulb in your bathroom naked and you slipped off the ladder.
Oh. All right. In on that.
Okay.
Great show.
Good show, everybody.
We'll be back. We'll be back next week.
All right. Now I'm going to say goodnight to the internet. I didn't say hello to the internet because I actually don't know when this show starts. Because Alan said that we've been recording like since like the moment I said hello. And then he's like, okay, I'm recording now. Oh, no, I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to start the recording again. Are you going to like put them all together or what are you going to do, Alan?
He's going to do the hokey pokey.
No, I'm not. That's too much. All right. Work.
So you're not. So you, essentially, you're just listening to half the show.
It's not half the show. It's an hour. It's an hour and 11 minutes.
My name's Alan. I was in the core.
The old core. Damn it.
I like my chili awful. Don't put beans in it. They're delicious and they'll give you good roughage.
Okay. Since you brought it up.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I have an analogy for you people that are having such a hard time understanding how chili does not have beans in it. You know, your steak doesn't have beans in it either. Nope. And do you try to stuff beans into it? No, you do not.
You try to put tomato sauce on it.
You eat the steak. So chili is the steak.
Have meat in it either.
What?
And chili doesn't have meat in it because chili con carne means chili with meat.
God.
So, ergo, if it doesn't have meat, it doesn't have beans, it's spicy ketchup.
I hate you all.
This is like the eternal argument. This is actually the chili argument is better than like 45 versus 1911.
It but is.
Let's, 1911, whatever. Whatever the fight is.
Let's change this around. So Alan, of course, jokes about the fact that like, oh, you know, chili with beans and onions and green peppers, which is how I like my chili. That's not chili. That's stew.
Yes.
But let's be fucking honest. Chili in any form is fucking stew. It is a stew.
Because you stew the meat.
It's stew. It's just a question of what the ingredients is. Now, tonight for dinner, we had beef stew. And now, can you imagine if I had not put the potatoes into the beef stew?
Sacrilege.
Exactly. Fucking hell on earth. The same can be said about the beans and chili.
Nope.
It's a stew. Put stuff in.
So wrong.
Yeah, right. If it's wrong, why does it taste good?
Because lots of things.
I think Alan
is
implying that you, when you eat Texas style chili, which is just meat and sauce, you're supposed to have the other things on the side. Correct. So, like, eating just chili in Texas is not like a complete meal. You have to have other things with it. Whereas, like, when I make chili, that's it. That's the meal.
That's dinner.
Like you don't have shit on the side. That's dinner. So I put vegetables and beans and corn.
I make cornbread. I'll make cornbread.
I make cornbread too. Yeah.
Because you got to have something to dip in the chili.
Right. But I think in Texas you have things with the chili. You know.
Yeah.
You
have things with the chili too. And they're in the chili.
Right.
Because guess what? If you gave me chili with some dirty rice and some and like a little black bean salad or something like that. Yeah, I'm just going to take my fork and I'm just going to whip that whole son of a bitch up together. Why don't you save me some effort here?
Is that acceptable, Alan, or no? Mixing everything up together. Has he hung up on us?
I think Alan left the building.
I don't think he can hang up on us.
Thinking about it. It is.
So, all right, Alan.
It is.
Let's have a meditational exercise here. So, Alan, picture in your mind. You are getting in your truck and you're driving to your favorite chili place.
That's my house.
Do you have a favorite chili place, Alan?
his house.
Okay, you're making chili in your house. You're not wearing any clothes. You're nice and free.
Oh, jeez.
And your refrigerator is completely full. You can make whatever sides you want. What are you making for sides, Alan? Let us know.
If I make a side, it's usually with chili. It's
say it.
It's usually like rice and beans.
Bam.
Okay, beans and rice. All right, now Alan, you've got your chili with con nothing, and you've got your beans and rice. How are you going to eat that? How do you take a little scoop of the beans and eat the beans? Take a little scoop of the chili, or take a little scoop of the beans and kind of smash it into the chili and kind of get a little saucy beans and rice?
Actually,
he's making a face.
Yeah, I am.
Or are you going to do the absolute correct thing, which is put the beans and rice on the plate and then spoon the chili over it?
No, I never do that. That's disgusting.
And listen to the angels sing as you eat it.
No. I will. I have been known to take some crackers and eat chili with some crackers.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You are so fucking old.
Which is like a heresy.
Do you wash that down with some Ovaltine?
No.
Do you listen to the shadow on the wireless?
Sometimes. The shadow knows what evil lurks in the
heart. It is on the wireless too, because it's picking it up over Wi-Fi.
That's right.
Oh my God.
The shadow also knows the beans go in chili.
Oh my God. All right. Good night. Yeah, we're going.
Lamont Cranston does eat his chili with beans.
We'll be back next week. Goodbye. Goodbye. Hanging up now. We're all right. Bye. Say goodbye, Gracie.
Good night.